What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show, hour number two. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. And interestingly enough, the Supreme Leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid al-Khamenei, in a meeting with visiting Iraq Prime Minister Haider al-Abadi on Thursday, basically gave him a good piece of advice. Never trust the U.S. government. They don't keep their promises. Good advice. Very good advice. Although by this point, I'm pretty sure al-Abadi already figured that out for himself. But that's the image and reputation of the U.S. government around the world. They don't keep their commitments. They don't keep to the treaties. Didn't keep to the nuclear non-proliferation treaty relative to Iran. Didn't keep with the P5 plus one deal, pulling out of the Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty. The U.S. government's signature on that piece of paper is a waste of ink. Now, apparently, as events start to ratchet up against Iran, somebody's playing the same old game again. We're going to send in terrorists. There's going to be terrorists on the ground, and then we'll just have to intervene for those poor people of Iran to save them from the evil terrorists. Well, so far, not working out very well. The IRGC basically found a terrorist team that infiltrated into the Chaldiran region in the northwestern province of West Azerbaijan. Apparently these terrorists killed two local residents. The ground forces launched an operation after the attack, chasing the terrorists and killing all four of them in an armed clash. They seized weapons, communication equipment, and ammunition from the terrorists. And apparently Iran is basically enhancing their counterterror operations because they've seen the same pattern, same thing the U.S. did in Syria. Send in ISIS and al-Qaeda and then say, oh, look, there's ISIS and al-Qaeda in Syria. War on terror. We must invade. Now, we're starting to get some more belligerent talk from Israel, and specifically Intelligence Minister Israel Katz came on out and said that if Trump fails to stop Iran's nuclear ambitions, Israel will strike. Now, to put that in a little bit of context, you need to remember a couple of things. Iran's nuclear ambitions were power stations. That's what they were building. That's what they were allowed to build under the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. And by the way, under that treaty, the U.S. was obligated to go on into Iran and help them build the power station. Pour the foundations, run the wiring, you know, do the piping, which is a great way of making sure there isn't a bomb factory in the basement like Israel has underneath Dimona. You also need to remember that Israel said exactly the same thing about Iraq. Iraq had nuclear ambitions. They were going to build nuclear bombs. It was going to be a threat to the world. And Israel went and bombed Iraq's power station at Osirak. And then, of course, there was the Iraq War. Everybody went on in. There were no nuclear weapons. No weapons of mass destruction. Experts examining the ruins of the Osirak power station found a power station and nothing else. So Israel is not really reliable at pointing the finger at other countries and saying, oh, they're building a bomb. We have to go attack them. But it looks like Israel might. Israel will bomb Iran, and then Iran will counterattack, and Israel will turn to the U.S. and say, oh, help, help, the evil Iranians are attacking us. Okay. Now, apparently over in Pakistan, the court has ordered the arrest of the former Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif, who's embroiled in two corruption cases tied to the Panama Papers leak. Well, good. We need some of that here. We need some more prosecutions for corruption. And I know they got that former head of the FDA, but I think we have to aim high on that particular situation. U.S. House passed the harshest ever North Korean sanctions. This was a 415-2 vote. The House of Representatives has passed the Otto Warmbier Act, a new round of sanctions against North Korea described as the harshest ever in UF history. If it passes the Senate and it's signed by Trump, and it probably will be, it would ban anyone who does any business or cooperates in any way with North Korea from having U.S. business ties. It's not just North Korean businesses. It's anybody doing business with North Korea. That's going to anger a lot of people. That's going to harm a lot of economies like China, South Korea. You know, North Korea right now is doing a huge amount of business over in construction in other parts of the world. This is going to further isolate us. This is like all these other sanctions and everything that the U.S. has done. It's going to cause more harm and isolation for American companies than it will for North Korea. All right, let's first of all do a shout out to our honor affiliates who are just now rejoining our network. And let's take a telephone call from Scott in Norfolk. Aloha, Scott. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha, Mike. I was just reading in the Wall Street Journal today about the wall that Trump is looking at building. And there are samples from each company that putting a bid in to be the one to build
yes.
the wall. And I thought, and they're all American companies, which I liked. But I thought, wouldn't that be interesting if we were to hire an Israeli company to build that wall?
I think one of the companies that tried to put a bid in was the company that builds those walls over in Israel.
How would the media... I mean, they would have to turn themselves into a pretzel to explain that, to be against the wall but pro-Israel at the same time.
Oh, well, that's been the hypocrisy all along, you know, that, you know, Israel's wall against the Palestinians is good, and our wall against illegal immigrants, that's bad. And, I don't really know that a wall is anything more than a symbolic measure, because it's not going to be across the entire Mexican border. People will just go around it, or they'll dig under it, or they'll crawl over it. The fact of the matter is the walls have been tremendously ineffective in terms of stopping the flood of illegal immigrants. What we need to do is enforce the existing immigration laws in this country right now under Title 8, which means if you give aid and shelter to an illegal immigrant, if you house them, if you give them a job, if you give them transportation, you're looking at jail time. Now, remember, when Eisenhower was president, he launched Operation Wetback, and he just absolutely brought to an end the illegal immigration problem with only one-tenth of the manpower that ICE has today. So if Eisenhower can do it, we can do it. The problem is that we have a political system that's wholly on board with this globalism and open borders idea, despite the damage it's causing to everybody. And I don't really think the wall is going to be all that effective. If you want to be effective, put crocodiles in the Rio Grande.
Well, I tell you one thing that really showed that 9/11 was a false flag was the fact that no one was talking about building a wall then. You know, there were no borders
yes.
being discussed on either the south or north side of the country. And that was that's a huge tell. That 9/11 was not what we've been told it was.
I'm not sure that that's a strong link on that, but again, back when 9/11 happened, the existing immigration laws were being enforced. People were being arrested and sent back, not hurried off and buried in the interior of the country where they can't be easily found. That all came on long after 9/11. But again, as with Europe, this is all part of trying to erase our sense of local culture, local history, local identity, merge all of humanity into this one mass of easily controllable people.
Well, on a different subject, and just a quick question, can you please explain to me Bitcoin and how the heck they come up with that idea? There's something about using your computer to mine. What is that about? How does that work?
You mean on the Bitcoin? Well, basically, it's a computer program that you put on your computer, and it does a lot of processing, and when the processing is over, you get a Bitcoin. My speculation, and I didn't dig in enough to find it, but I think the original Bitcoin miner was actually a public key cracker, or the private key cracker for this public key versus private key encryption, the Whitfield-Diffie system. because the idea is basically that you can't get back to the private key from the public key. That's not entirely accurate. You can if you have enough compute power. And for a while, I was wondering whether all this Bitcoin mining was actually some way of crowdsourcing the issue of cracking these public private keys from the public keys.
What do you think about it now?
I'm not really paying that much attention to it. But again, there's a question there. Exactly what is being done with all that computer power? I can't imagine that they're just, you know, figuring out pi to the 11 millionth place or something like that. Somebody somewhere has got a purpose for all this encryption. I mean, I do know that there are large blocks of data being moved in and out of your computer while the Bitcoin mining is working.
Well, what amazes me is they'll talk about Bitcoin and things like the Wall Street Journal, and they mention mining as if it's self-explanatory. And I'm like, I can understand more about central banks of different countries working together behind a fiat currency than I can just throwing this idea of mining using computer processing power to build value to Bitcoin. That seems more strange than the current system we have now. And it's just amazing that people will just take it at face value. Oh, mining. That's how you get value, and they don't know what it is.
No, they really don't. Well, I remember when Bitcoin first came along, and I had a very good friend who had a computer business at that time, and he'd set up a machine to do nothing but mining Bitcoins, and he was proud on how he had $32 worth of Bitcoins. And I said, how much did you spend on that machine? How much electricity is it using? Obviously, a lot more real value, real money was being spent running this computer than you were getting in the resulting Bitcoins. But again, I was very suspicious of that Bitcoin mining process because everybody was being encouraged to do it. And it looked to me like it was a crowdsourced public key cracker.
And possibly a money laundering deal.
Don't know how that would work. There's no place to put cash into it in the mining operation. You spend the cash to build your computer, but that's basically it. Anyway, listen, Scott, we're going to let you go here, take some more phone calls. We're going to switch over here to Alex in Florida. Aloha, Alex. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Michael, I think that I think that Hillary Clinton may be having to fall on her sword for the deep state. I think they could be at the point where they're like, you know what? I look back to the book 1984, where the lead character in that book went to the government and said, I want to work for you guys. And they basically said, you can, but we may want to disfigure you one day. You may have to die for us one day. It's a very, you know, they told him. And basically, I think that Hillary Clinton could be at that point where she was willing to sign her soul to them, and now they're saying it's your turn to fall because we can't all fall with you. And Obama could be involved, could be falling on his sword, too. There could be a lot of them falling on their sword right now. I hope that's the case, but I also hope that that's not the case because that means that we would still have the same system, just some new puppets on the stage. What do you think about that thought?
Well, first of all, Hillary is not the type to fall on her sword or sacrifice herself for the greater good or the deep state or anything. If anything, if this really starts to come apart and they can't contain it, I'm expecting a bug out. I'm expecting Hillary and Debbie Wasserman Schultz and Huma Abedin and all of these other players at the law firms and Podesta and all of them to basically head for the airport at the same time and leave the country for a place without extradition and just leave the mess behind them. These are not people who ever think of others above their own personal interests. So that's never going to happen. But again, they're trying to put a lid on this thing. They're trying to avoid prosecution. Unfortunately, it's at such a scale where the American people are looking at it and saying, yeah, there is something wrong with the entire government that these people are getting away with this stuff. And to have the attorney general and the head of the FBI, two in a row, trying to protect this situation, Yeah, I mean, as I said before, the credibility and legitimacy of the U.S. government and of the corporate media is on the line right now. If they keep on trying to keep a lid on this and saying there's nothing here, let's go back to Trump and Russia, they're going to collapse. People are fed up with all of this nonsense now.
That's right. Well, that's what I was thinking, is that maybe instead of them collapsing, it would be a collapse of the puppets. Hillary Clinton and maybe Obama and Comey and Loretta Lynch and all the ones that were basically involved, which would be unfortunate if the system survived that. But anyway, I wanted to ask you a question on 9/11. The gentleman just before me was talking about he knew 9/11 was an inside job when such and such happened. I watched a documentary about 15 years ago on 9/11 where they showed that our government knew the whereabouts of all the terrorists, where they lived, what they did, when they moved, what courses they were taking for the aviation, everything. That documentary is nowhere to be found. Today, anyone that watched that documentary, they would know that our government was heavily involved in 9/11. Plus, our government in basically 1 hour told us everybody that did it. I mean, that's enough evidence right now.
I mean, the buildings hadn't even finished collapsing, and the corporate media was out there saying, oh, yes, it's Osama bin Laden. And the funny thing about that is the whole month before, the media had been just, you know, pushing Osama bin Laden's image. And I remember I was still friendly with the Free Republic people, and I posted an article saying, this isn't news reporting, it's a sales pitch. They're selling this image of Osama bin Laden as somebody we all need to be afraid of. They're marketing him. And I got quite a few negative comments back on that. And I said, no, there's something big that's about to happen, and they're going to blame this Osama bin Laden guy for it. So when 9/11 happened and I looked at it, it was pretty obvious what was going on. As far as those original hijackers are concerned, you need to remember it is arguable they were not even on those flights. Their names don't show up in the passenger manifests, and most of them turned up to be quite alive after 9/11 was over. In fact, one of the named hijackers turned up to be a pilot for the Saudi airline, and he sued for defamation, and he won. And, of course, the American corporate media really didn't report on that too much.
That's right. And another thing, not one of the black boxes from any of the planes has ever been found, supposedly.
Yep.
I mean, that right, we would know for certain. And I did a little bit of research. Let's say that those planes were filled up, or three-quarters of the way filled, and half the passengers were males. What that would mean is that for each hijacker, he would have to beat up three males with his box cutter. It would be almost three or four on one, and that would not include females. And I know if I'm on a plane and the guy has a box cutter and he's hurting people, I might lose a hand, but I will do anything I can do to twist that guy's head off. You would do the same, would you? Or would you sit back and say, we're just going to fly into the building?
I'd probably take some kind of action. And I'm in agreement with you on that one. But again, we've all been told what happened on the airplanes. We don't know that it's real. We don't know if there really were hijackers on board the plane or if the planes had been put under remote control and flown into those buildings. In fact, I'm of the opinion that Flight 93 was under remote control and the crew got back control of the plane, and that's why it had to be shot down. Anyway, Alex, got to let you go. Got to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Extendivite, a seven-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And apparently Hillary Clinton has come on out saying that she had no idea her campaign was paying for this Russia Trump dossier. She only just learned about it in the corporate media, which was an excuse we kept hearing from Barack Obama when his scandal started coming on out. I only found out about it today, really. Turned out to be a complete lie, and it's a lie again. That's what they're all trying to bail and get away from this thing, but it isn't. It's going to stick, you know, because ultimately people are going to say they're not going to believe that Hillary didn't know about it. At the very least, they're going to say she should have. It was her campaign. All right, let's go back to the phones here. Pat in Fort Worth, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, you were talking about the wall between us and Mexico.
Yes.
I don't know how many people know or thought about it. It's at one time, it's 308 nationalities coming over that wall. Even Cubans, I hear, are coming over whenever Obama was going to get relations with them, you know. And they just didn't want to go to the way that normal way to get over here, so they're going to run over. They say thousands have been running over the Mexican border, okay? And then,
yes.
I really think we should have a wall, and you say there's nothing you can do to keep them from coming over. they swim around the one in California, I hear. But
yes,
I believe that we will get in war. I can't tell you when. And that will be the really thing that tells which one is really American thinking person and who's just doesn't want citizenship because they want to run when things get tough. Back to Mexico. And I've always said, well, if they make a wall, they should put an adjustable thing on the top where they can't get over the wall so easy, you know, the barbed wire fence, and turn it to hold them in. Because if the war starts and they want to run to Mexico, they can't go. Because they've been drawing on all their benefits and they need to help pay for it, just like our relatives have paid for it and we've suffered for them to have this freedom.
Yeah, the problem with that idea is they're not going to be inspired fighters. You know, they may go along and take the uniform and go through the basic training, and they get into combat, they're just going to cower, you know, behind a log because it's not really their country. They don't have an emotional connection to the United States. Well, and so I've heard all these plans about using the refugees and the illegal immigrants, promise them citizenship if they fight in our military forces. They're not going to be dedicated, enthusiastic fighters. They're going to do the very minimum they need to get through and get that little green card or that citizenship certificate, and that's about it. It's not going to be an effective fighting force.
You don't think, you think it would be legal for us to say that since Mexico is our border and we're going to have to live with it, like it or not, that we should all learn Spanish and having our kids at school learn Spanish and they will know English, and we will have decent trading partners if they ever get normal. And not thinking that when they come to America, they just scoop up money on the ground. That's what they're being told on there. And it's going to
get
harder.
Yeah, they are. But I'm sorry. You know, if you're going to come to America, learn the local language, and that's English. And when I worked in other countries around the world, when I was still working in film, I made the effort of learning the local language. Now, fortunately, everywhere I went, there were people who spoke excellent English, but they respected the fact that I was trying to learn their language, because it wasn't like I was moving there. I was only there for a few weeks or a few months, you know, but I did make the effort of learning the language in order to get around here. That's just the respectful thing to do.
And they do here. The Mexicans appreciate the fact that you learn Spanish. In fact, it scares them a little sometimes because they think they're talking behind your back and you understand.
Yeah, a couple of times when I've been on vacation in Puerto Vallarta or Los Hatos, I've had that happen. I even had it happen once with some Japanese who were visiting our film company in Los Angeles, and they were saying some frankly uncomplimentary things. And one of them noticed that I gave a start and seems, wakaredeska, do you understand what I'm saying? And I went, hi, wakaremas. And at that point, they all kind of shut up. All right, Pat, we got to let you go. And we'll be back with another phone call after these few words.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hey, can we talk about something serious for a minute? Your age. Getting old has its perks. But remember, being a few years younger, you know, your hair was thicker, you didn't have so many wrinkles, that extra weight wasn't haunting you, and you just felt better. Well, we can't turn back the clocks and go back 10 or 15 years, but you can start feeling and looking 10 or 15 years younger with Nature's Youth RSF. It's a doctor-formulated daily supplement that helps your body maintain its peak performance and fight the aging process. Imagine sleeping better, looking better, and feeling better. See how Nature's Youth RSF has helped thousands of people just like you at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. The holidays are coming. Imagine how it will feel when your family and friends are asking you what you did to look so good. Your secret will be Nature's Youth RSF. It's time to start looking better and feeling better. Learn more and order your Nature's Youth RSF at naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. We're going to go right back to the telephones here. Mike in Kentucky, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Oh, wow. You're talking about 9/11. Can you hear me okay?
I hear you fine.
Okay. I just stumbled across some of this stuff to do with the flight data recorders. I was wondering, I know you've got sections on your webpage to do with a lot of this. Do you have some of the material or some of the flight data recorder data from pilots for 9/11 Truth that shows those models of planes were not supposed to have GPS-enabled flight correction, and the data fields show flight data GPS-enabled? Those models... The civilian planes should not have had GPS, and from 1991, it was still military classified, and the flight data recorders show that field lit as enabled. So there's two of the planes, the one that hit the Pentagon, the one that hit the South Tower, that should not have had GPS, but according to 9/11 Truth, pilots for 9/11 Truth have show that. I just recently found a video of theirs called The Speed of Lies. And there's a couple of them that talk about that. They're documentaries. I just wondered if you'd acquired those that data.
I may have. It was so long ago. I may have that data. I know I've got a huge amount of data about 9/11 on my server. It's not even linked to the page yet. And I keep saying one of these days I'll have enough time to go back and look through all of this. But then, you know, you have architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth. Richard Gage is just doing a fabulous job. Again, one of the things people need to keep in mind is the comptroller of the Pentagon when all of this went down was a guy named Dov Zakheim. And before he'd been appointed by President Bush to be the comptroller of the Pentagon, he ran a company that built remote control systems for commercial jets,
so that they could jets be at the same time. They could do multiple. I'm sorry. The photographic evidence shows that those planes were going way faster than a civilian version could go, like maybe up to 600 miles an hour. Now, they top out at 380 or something. The barber pole on their flight speed gauge is at 380. So there's no way that, especially the plane that hit the South Tower, was way faster than possible for a civilian plane. So when you add that
I disagree with pilots for 9/11 Truth on that one. Because my analysis doesn't match up with that. These aircraft basically are designed to fly up to just before the speed of sound. And, of course, the speed of sound varies with altitude. But the aircraft that were there over Manhattan appeared to be flying at about 300 knots when they crashed into the buildings there. Anyway, listen, Mike, we're going to let you go. I got a lot of news to cover. Thank you very much. We're going to let you go. Have a good day. All right. All right. Bear with all the pauses here for my coughing. I'm a little touch under the weather here. Now, getting on back to the war zones. The United States and North Korea are edging into increasingly dangerous territory. This is an article out of thenation.com. And basically, the conflict is going to be front and center when Trump pays his first state visits to Japan and South Korea next month. And in Japan, Prime Minister Shinzo Abe just won a smashing re-election victory. And Trump will be honored with an audience with the country's aging emperor and his usual golf game with Abe. Now, Abe's agenda is to pull Japan out of its post-war pacifism. And once again reassert Japan as a regional military power, and North Korea might be his first opportunity to do that. There have been several recent changes to the Japanese constitution that allow for expanding the military forces. Prior to that, the constitution Japan had after the end of World War II, they were very limited in the military they were allowed to have for obvious reasons, and now Japan wants to move away from that. Now, of growing concern for a lot of people, and this came out of womensystems.com, is the concern that this conflict with North Korea could turn into a nuclear conflict very, very quickly, very easily. And they're saying basically North Korea by 2020, North Korea will either be a post-atomic wasteland, an active war zone, or a de facto nuclear-armed state with a fully developed intercontinental ballistic missile capability. Now, I put a question mark over that one because about a month ago, we did a story about some of the disastrous mistakes made by the Central Intelligence Agency over the years, including the timing of Russia's first nuclear weapon, the fall of the Soviet Union itself. And so at this point, I would imagine that probably North Korea is moving along as quickly as they can and are probably going to have a nuclear deterrent before too much longer. And I'm not expecting North Korea to just haul off and attack anybody because that would be national suicide. The whole point of having nuclear weapons and ICBMs is to deter other nations from invading you. And if you will notice in all these wars fought by the United States over the last 16 years, the U.S. is always going after countries that do not have a deterrent. It only whoops on these countries that are relatively helpless. And now apparently we're now in 53 of 54 nations in Africa. None of them had nuclear weapons either. Let's take a phone call here. Victor in Canada, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. Can you hear me?
I hear you.
Okay. Hi, Mike. I'm both speaking language. I speak Russian. I speak English. And I've subscribed to at least maybe 10 policymakers in Russia, including Zhirinovsky. And I've been watching this escalation of blaming Russians for everything. Meanwhile, Clintons were in collude with the Russians to buy the uranium from. I mean, she was selling a country like in a candy store with all its secrets, with all its all the people's money that's invested in research and development. They were just selling it out for pennies on a dollar to anybody who can. I watched this act from the beginning, and it seems like the Russians. There's a lot of speaking English speaking people these websites today that following your website. They following the websites of Alex Jones, and they watching how we're getting attacked by the globalism across the board. And that concerns both countries and both its peoples. They are concerned that this there's a takeover worldwide. This technocracy and the leadership with people like George Soros trying to overtake the countries and starting revolutions. I'm waiting for a revolution to start immediately in Russia and United States. I hope it gets deterred.
Well, the one in Russia has been put off because Putin very wisely has banned all of the Soros-linked non-governmental organizations that were operating in his country, and even some not linked to Soros, like USAID, which has been tangled up with a lot of these destabilization operations in other countries, where they go on in and say, we're here to help, and what they do is they fund the opposition, they stir up trouble, leading to an overthrow of the government. So Putin is already well aware of how this game is played, and he's taking steps to prevent it. So I'm not expecting there's going to be a revolution in Russia. What we may see during the next election is an attempt to defraud Putin of re-election and put in somebody who's more friendly to the West.
What about the $18 billion that Soros just transferred over to be used across the globe for this color purple revolutions, Mike?
Yeah, that's very, very concerning that that sudden transfer of money means something big is on the horizon. There's going to be a big, gigantic push for this globalist agenda. We don't know where it's coming from, but obviously Soros is realizing that his dream of one world government is slipping away from him, and so he's ready to give it one more push.
I just watched the guy that had big oil companies in Russia. On national TV and websites promoting that they're going to overturn and create another revolution. I don't know, I forgot the name of the guy, but he was a big oil man and got stripped of all his companies. I think he even went to jail. I just saw him maybe 10 days ago speaking how there's a large amount of money. He said, this is on words, that the West and Russia will be on fire this fall.
Well, that's a very alarming thing to hear, and we certainly know that Antifa is talking about trying to start a civil war on November 8th, which is the anniversary of Trump's election victory. At this point, it's being treated like they're just going to stand around and scream at the sky, but it's of concern that apparently FEMA is holding a nationwide drill simulating the collapse of the power grid. So everybody needs to be sort of prepared for the worst possible outcome on the 8th.
I agree with you, Mike. I'm watching this 100 years of October Revolution, and I'm just watching from each day to day they're going to find an event to ignite something bigger.
Well, my understanding right now is that, for the most part, the people living in the Russian republics are fairly content. There isn't that boiling resentment that you had in Tsarist Russia on which to build a revolution. So And again, Putin is wisely and prudently keeping these destabilization operations out of his country.
It's true, Mike. I agree with you on that. It looks like he have a pretty good grasp on what's going on, although there are people coming out, including from the military ranks, that saying absurd things, that he ruined the country and all that. But I'm watching the military getting developed behind the scenes, what they're developing. They're developing a 57-millimeter semi-automatic gun that shoots at 100 rounds a minute, that have a 12-kilometer range with five different ammunition capacities. I mean, that's incredible. If it's going tanks against tanks that have been put in outside of Europe now, I believe in Sweden caves or Switzerland, the borders, Obama ordered a bunch of tanks in there. I'm telling you, the 57-millimeter on three different platforms will destroy those things like fish in a barrel.
Well, apparently somebody leaked a document from NATO where NATO is actually in agreement with you that a conventional force-on-force conflict along the Russian border in Europe, NATO's not going to be able to prevail. And that may be the reason they kind of backed off on all of this threatening gesture. Anyway, listen, Victor, thank you.
Yes, thank you, Mike.
All right. Have yourself a really good day. We're going to let you go here and get back to the news. Okay. Now then, let's see. Long time ago, this is a case of something just dragging on forever and ever. The second Secretary General of the United Nations was a gentleman named Dag Hammarskjöld, and he was apparently killed in a plane crash while he was on his way to deal with a negotiation. And it was I think this was like back in the 60s. Apparently, the UN has been investigating all these years, and they issued a report saying that basically some kind of an external attack brought Dag Hammarskjöld's plane down, and that the aircraft was witnessed to be on fire before it crashed, and that the aircraft apparently was fired on by or otherwise actively engaged by another aircraft. So a little bit of wet work even all the way back then. Let's talk about the economic news here. Venezuela is joining the anti-dollar crusade. They will no longer accept oil export payments in dollars. For now, Venezuela is doing all of its oil business in euros. But there is a strong argument that China's new gold-backed petro-yuan will become a permanent replacement. And as the petrodollar dies, the dollar itself will fall alongside it, because it's that petrodollar deal is the only thing propping up demand for the U.S. dollar internationally. Now, we've been hearing all these articles about how terrible things are in Russia and how terrible the economy is in China, and it's really horrible, and you should be glad you're living here in the United States of America. But according to this article out of Investment Watch blog, the reality is that the U.S. is in far worse economic shape than either China or Russia. And like everything else to do with the economy, you're not being told. They're rigging the stock market up, and I want to see what it's doing here right now. It actually had a pretty lousy day yesterday. So let's see how it ended up today. Well, a little bit better today, not spectacularly so. Yesterday it had a real big downturn. So they're rigging the stock market. They're lying about the unemployment numbers. They're lying about the rate of inflation, and they're trying to just create this illusion that the economy is okay, that we're in a recovery, and you shouldn't be upset with either Wall Street or Washington, D.C. over how things are going, because if you're hungry and homeless and out of work, it has to be your fault. But that's not the reality. Practically all of the 10 million jobs created in the U.S. since 2005 were temporary jobs. And that's another way they rig the unemployment numbers, because a company will hire a temp worker. Oh, we've created a job. Then the temp worker is let go. And then a few weeks down the line, that same company hires another temp worker. Oh, that's another job that has been created. But in terms of permanent career path jobs, they're just not out there. Now, we had somebody call into the show the other day talking about real estate prices in San Francisco, and how it was obviously another bubble. And now it looks like the bubble may be in trouble, because pending home sales have plunged in the San Francisco Bay Area, and they're dropping all across California. So all of a sudden, the frothing is over. The land flipping seems to be over, at least for the moment, and that is a harbinger of a downturn yet to come. Getting on over in Europe, Brussels, apparently in response to the Catalonia referendum and the ongoing debate over Brexit, is trying to consolidate its control over the rest of the European member states. And the EU Commission has come up with this plan where they're going to strip the member state governments of veto power. In other words, what the EU Commission says, that will be the law of the land. Nobody's allowed to refuse. That's not what these people signed up for. They signed up for free travel, free trade, and that was it. So we're going to take another break here for some commercials. When we come on back, a couple of developments about Harvey Weinstein and more news. We'll be right back.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones. Please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far $5.15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. We're going to give a little bit of attention to Harvey Weinstein and what's going on with him, not to the detriment of our focus on Uranium Gate and P-Gate and all of this other stuff that the epic of Clinton's mess, as it were. Apparently, actress Natasha Malthe has come on out and accused Harvey Weinstein of rape, apparently back in 2008, and followed by a pattern of harassing her while she pursued her acting career. And this is the latest woman to accuse Weinstein of sexual assault. Now, apparently, Weinstein's company also has a publishing arm, Miramax Books. And apparently, this author had written a book which was a thinly disguised telling of some of what Weinstein and his company were doing. They changed the names. You know, it was a dramatization, fictionalization. And apparently, Weinstein decided that the best way to keep that book from really getting on out there was to be the publisher. So he basically approached the writer and said, you know, I love it. I understand. It's, you know, it's like Citizen Kane. It's thinly veiled a story about William Randolph Hearst. And this is the same thing here, but we're going to publish it. And he acquired the rights and then set about undermining his own publishing company's property. The man, they sold foreign rights in 9 countries. The manuscript was never released in England. And so that's how that stuff gets done when you have way too much money here. Now, apparently, Oscar-winning writer-director Paul Haggis, taking his career in hand, has now come forward to suggest that Hollywood is still covering up credible and serious allegations of pedophilia. And again, Corey Feldman is now out there. He's mounting a campaign where he's going to have a lot of these victims of this pedophilia go public and start naming names, which is probably why they ginned up an arrest for marijuana to try and discredit him. From the world of political correctness, apparently over at the American Museum of Natural History in New York City, somebody defaced the statue of Theodore Roosevelt. They basically sprayed red paint all over the base of the statue, and it's basically vandalism of statues deemed offensive by certain groups. Well, here's the problem. Every statue out there is going to be offensive to somebody, and we can't have the entire world held hostage to people who are offended by things, because there is a huge population of people whose entire sense of self-valuation is always finding something to be offended about. Oh, I'm offended by this. I'm offended by that. I'm offended by that. Well, go ahead. Be offended. I don't care. But you don't have a right to come on in and deface statues of America's presidents just because you find them offensive. If you find it offensive, shut your eyes. Turn away. That's the correct, mature way to do it. Not try and deface it so that nobody else can see it, because that has nothing to do with your being offended. It's everything to do with your deciding what you want other people to see or not see. We'll be back after station identification.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.